Listening last night, I heard the screen door slam. When a big yellow taxi took my girl away. Now don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you got till it's gone? If you paralyzed, put up a fucking lie. Nah, nah. Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you got till it's gone? Pay paradise, put up a parking lot. Why not? They pay paradise to put up a parking lot. Hey, 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 pay paradise, put up a parking lot. I wanna give it, why you wanna give it all away?
The Henry Raines Show here on WWPR 1490 AM, and we are having a little bit of technical difficulties reaching Andy Melee on the phone. We're hoping he'll call in just a moment. Augie is in the studio with us, and we will try and get the full update from Andy when he calls in, hopefully. But the Friday, the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers denied developer Carlos Bruce Longbar Point application permit for a wetland mitigation bank for the newly proposed Aqua by the Bay development in southwest Manatee County. The Corps of Engineers previously denied such an application in 2016 and said the developer had failed to address the concerns noted then. Instead of offering an identical application with only commentary towards the Corps of Engineers previously stated concerns. So basically we're back where we started, or at least Carlos Baruth is back where he started on that. And now you're very greatly concerned. Your microphone is fleeing.
Getting away from me, yeah. Go ahead.
You've been in the area for decades, and you're well aware of the sensitivity of the local environment, what's remaining of the local environment. And you know, by the way, what have you been here? Four decades, something like that?
Well, in Sarasota, I started living here full time in '80, so we're about 4 years.
So you've seen the changes from your perspective down in Sarasota. And do you have any general opinions about the development there on Sarasota Bay, this southwest part of Manatee County? I mean, it seems like we're going to get developed one way or the other.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, the developers are having their way. That is the case. So, your Baruth and Benderson are just having a field day these days with both county commissions in Manatee and in Sarasota as well. So, the hope for the future for the civility of this area is very much in question. Is that our guest?
We have Suncoast Waterkeeper Andy Melee on the phone. Andy, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Yes. So, by the way, you're on the air with Augie Schmitz, a longtime host here on the radio also. He's helping us out today. And
great.
I gave a little bit of background, but let's bring it up to date. I told him about the most recent development with the Army Corps of Engineers, but for people that weren't listening, 2 weeks ago, give us a snapshot of Aqua by the Bay and what Carlos Baruth, the developer, wanted to do and what the concerns are in regards to that.
Okay, Carlos Baruth was rebuffed in 2013 with a proposal called Longbar Point on the same property, which still seems to go by that name. And that was a somewhat larger, somewhat more ambitious project that overtly called for a dredged channel through the mangrove fringe for a marina, many boats and many tall buildings and over 3,000 residential units and lots of commercial space. He cut the commercial space back this time on a project called Aqua by the Bay, but he added probably something on the order of 24 150-foot tall buildings, which would 10 stories above parking, which would make them the tallest structures between downtown Sarasota and St. Pete, all on a pretty unspoiled stretch of shoreline with nothing on it, even remotely that high, nothing at all, really, above the tree line between downtown Sarasota and Tampa Bay. So it's a jarring proposal. It's going to unleash, you know, thousands upon thousands of cars on an already overstressed infrastructure in the city of Bradenton. And it also, because so many people were galvanized by the almost certainty of great damage to the mangrove fringe, which the Cortesians call the kitchen because it is where all the food comes from. All the marine species that are commercially important in the coastal fishery are spending some part of their lives when they are most vulnerable, either as eggs, larvae, or fingerlings, or, you know, young of the year in some way. They take shelter among the roots of the mangroves and eat and grow and develop until they can make it on the outside. So Carlos Baruf decided he would, he got some bad advice somewhere along the line and suggested that, that he was going to go for a mitigation bank. He was going to, you know, convince everybody that he was going to preserve the mangroves by doing a mitigation bank. And of course he got FDEP approval immediately because he's very well connected. Initially they turned him down and then he made a couple of calls to Tallahassee and then of course they approved it. Now it's pretty sordid. Story,
yeah, just
you know.
A quick aside to the listeners. Outside of the whole development, Carlos Baruf is chairing the Constitutional Revision Committee. So this is the same gentleman that will have a deep impact on any changes that are proposed for the Constitution.
He sat on Swift Mud as head of that for a while. The guy has got his fingers in so many pots, Henry. Mr. Maley, this mitigation thing of exchanging properties, what's the spoiler in that?
Well, the spoiler is in the design. The devil's always in the details. Because the state gave him title to not just to coastal or tidal property, but also underwater territory. He claimed a number of acres of some 7 or 8 acres of seagrass beds. Or at least he was claiming 7-plus credits for seagrass beds. Mm-hmm. Seagrass beds are already the way he was going to earn this was by putting up some signs. And the problem is that seagrass beds are already protected and enforced vigorously by the feds.
By the EPA, it's being cut apart right now, right?
Actually, by NOAA. Atmospheric and Oceanographic Atmospheric Administration. Yeah. And there's a couple of people here who are on the job, like literally every day enforcing seagrass regulations. So this is not something that's taken lightly. EPA has very little to do, actually, with this project.
Well,
so,
if that's the case, then are they afraid of the fund-cutting, the defunding of government that's been... That is the latest playing tool of the Republican Party. Is that going to hit them pretty soon?
That's been around forever. It's not a new trick. It's been around forever. They always try to. They always threaten, and I'm sure Baruf has and will continue to threaten with the Corps of Engineers refusing the wetlands. You know, they saw it for what it was. Let me quickly back up. When Baruf submitted the proposal to the FDEP. He did not include any indication that he was going to dredge and cut a 150-foot wide canal immediately behind the mangroves with little or no buffer.
Wow.
And that was then going to be fringed by a seawall, which is not legal on federal waterways, which was going to elevate the land. And, you know, they call it a retaining wall, and I'm sure it would serve that purpose, so they could build these huge skyscrapers right next to the water's edge. The deal with the canal was that it would isolate the wetlands, turn them into a mangrove island, disconnect them from their sources of upland nutrients. This is a system that has evolved along on the shoreline, and it is connected to the shoreline. They have found a bunch of people to say that it's not, but it is. That's just how they work. And so the isolation, the fact that they have no place to retreat when sea level rises and high energy waves coming through, bouncing off the seawall, coming back, the mangroves were doomed. Mm-hmm. And so we kind of, and there's still a mysterious little gap in the two halves of the mitigation bank as proposed in the exact same location as the original dredge channel. So this was like disingenuous, cynical, and just, you know, just like, oh, you know, he was just an insult to everybody's intelligence.
Well, people have to pay attention, that's for sure. Go ahead, Henry.
Yeah. So where do things go from here? If he doesn't have the approval of the Corps of Engineers, well, also, before we answer that question, there was another development that happened besides this. This is the bigger development, I would guess, with the Corps of Engineers denying the whole concept. But it went before the county commission. After it had been before the planning commission, there was a tremendous turnout. That actually, I believe, was after your last appearance on the radio show. The 2 weeks ago was the protest off
yes.
near the development, and then there was a follow-up meeting with the county commission after that. What happened at that meeting?
That Thursday, the county commission met, and there was a full hearing. There were some 80 people signed up to speak. And we ran it down to, I was the second person on the list. We heard from Baruch's people, including Baruch himself. He was there. And we heard from county staff, who were just falling over themselves to, you know, to bless this proposal. But it turned out that they had made an assumption from, you know, after months and months and months, if not years, of working with Baruch's people, the county staff had not picked up the fact that there was a call for many such tall buildings. They had assumed and made the assumption before the county commission that there was going to be one building of a 70-foot height and one building at 145 feet, completely overlooking the syntax and the language of the way that the proposal, the application was written, which left it wide open for as many as possible. And in fact, in their application to Swift Mud for wetlands fill, dredge and fill permits, they showed a full build out. Having shown the FDEP nothing on the uplands, no development at all, as if it was just a wetlands mitigation bank out of the goodness of their hearts, they then show this full build out plan, showing 24 buildings on their footprint to Swift Mud so they could fill, dredge, and fill the maximum number of wetlands possible. And then they go back to the county with a proposal that shows, once again, no buildings. And a couple of photographs, well, these are the sorts of things that the building will be. They had probably 2 years to correct staff's erroneous assumption, and they did not. Therefore, it is, in my mind, a deliberate omission. And a deliberate obfuscation and a falsification of the information in the press. They should have been denied outright for that. But at 7:30, everybody was getting a little tired. They didn't want to set a new date. And they had by this time realized that the incorrect information that was put before the planning commission warranted a reset. So they have to go back to the planning commission and start again. And they did also notice finally, after half a dozen of us brought it up ad nauseum, that the comprehensive plan requires somebody who's looking for a height deviation, a variance on the height restrictions, which are 35 feet, it requires them to, at the time of the public hearing, show a complete and full build-out plan with the location of the buildings on the property, elevation plans, and everything, of which they had done exactly nothing. They gave the county staff four photographs of other buildings and said, this is our architectural renderings of the sort of thing we're going to put there. It was unbelievable, just unbelievable.
Well, there was no plan. There was just a series of photographs collected and say, here, this is, it's going to be like this. Use your imagination.
Yep,
commissioners?
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
And so we pointed out that commissioners did not have enough information to reach a determination on whether this thing was even remotely close to in compliance with the comprehensive plan. Well, they just kicked it back to the Planning Commission, and we're waiting for a new date.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in combination with the no from the Army Corps of Engineers,
yeah,
where does it go from here?
I don't know. They're going to have to come up with something. They're going to have to come up with some new plan for the mangrove fringe, because nobody's going to tolerate something. You know, whoever has been asking me what the solution is, they own the property. It's too bad. You know, the ideal solution would be for them to sell the property through the Florida Forever or something like that, through a land trust. And just and let it become public property, a public amenity, just open space. Just go away and sell the property, you know, recoup your investment and be gone. Next best thing would be to just give us a 300 to 500 foot buffer along the shoreline, and then build within the 35 foot height restrictions, and
in the same
stay
area,
away from the shore.
In the same area of the county. The southwest part of Manatee County. You have
mm-hmm.
the Preston development that's, well, moving right along. You have IMG developing. What are they doing that makes it more palatable to people than the Baruth development?
They're developing within the law. Period.
All
simple
right.
as that.
Well, that's concise. And
yeah.
what's the next calendar date to look for?
The next calendar date is going to be the Planning Commission. And at the end of the hearing on the Thursday after we first spoke, Baruth got up and said, I would take it as a personal favor. I'm asking for I would personally appreciate it if you would expedite the rescheduling with the Planning Commission. And then he stalked out of the room, flinging his sport coat on. Or a suit coat, and not a happy man.
Didn't roll down on the floor and kick his feet?
Oh. Not quite, but close. But in saying, a fellow named Chris Anderson, who writes for the Sarasota Herald Tribune, put out a good op-ed on that. It was like, wait just a minute, what does he mean as a personal favor? This is a quasi-judicial hearing he's at, and the county commissioners are like judges. Literally, legally speaking, they are sitting as judges, and he's saying as a personal favor, what does that mean, and what does that imply?
Well, it may not.
And I'll leave that to your listeners to imagine.
Well, it may not be interesting to Manatee County, but the developers are doing the same thing in the case of Benderson, and Baruth, for that matter, in Sarasota County. Baruth is going
yes.
around buying up golf courses.
Yes,
not,
he
doing,
is.
Not doing the proper corings to see if they've got radon in there, because dumps very often are golf courses are cover for dumps all over the state.
There's one notorious such place out on Clark Road. It's called Foxfire.
Foxfire, right.
And Foxfire has it was a county toxic waste dump,
right.
Not just a dump, but it was a toxic waste dump.
Mm-hmm.
And the place is hot, hot, hot. And of course it has the golf course on top of it. And they are now building right up to the edge of the golf course and possibly on the golf course. I'm not sure. It's obligatory for core samples to be taken of a place like that just to determine what the load bearing characteristics of the soil are and everything like that. And a company that the building managers, dutifully called, which is what they do all the time. They called up the core sample drilling company, and they came and they took the core samples and they delivered the results to Baruth, and Baruth flew into a rage, threw the stuff in the trash, did not look at it. He said, I am not going to look at these results. I'm not going to look at these samples. He fired the guy who ordered them. And he was basically saying, what I don't know, I can't be sued for.
Right.
Wait a minute. Who reported that? Who was the source for that?
For that story?
Yes.
I don't remember. I believe it was in the public record someplace. It was. It made its way into the newspapers.
It got a lot of upset people because they forced out a whole community in Gulfgate to take away their properties, and turn they fenced off the golf course and got horses grazing on it. But if you build houses on top of those dump sites, you basically invite cancer rampant among people who live there. Radon notoriously is a cancer creation. I lived in a house in Illinois that was over 102 years old at the time. Beautiful home, but it was built on a dump. And every man in that house contracted cancer, including me. All the others died. I got lucky. I just lost a kidney. But the outcomes are pretty severe. What the developers doing in Sarasota and Manatee, Baruff and Benderson particularly, are horrid. And they own the county commissions in both cases. So what people are looking at in terms of legislation are rubber stamp people. They're not seriously going to oppose this money. And the dependence on getting elected into these commission office, which pay $80,000 plus, and invite a full-time pension after they're in two terms, at least in Sarasota County. I don't know what it is in Manatee.
Speaking to the county commission issue, before it had to be delayed, how do you think the vote would have gone down for this?
I cannot tell you. You know, my last, I'm still getting over the PTSD from the Mosaic hearings that went down with a 5-2 vote. I'm guessing it would have been 5-2, maybe 4-3, but I'm betting they would have approved it. Because
when I was reading the reports on this, some of the comments, and it's a lot to just make a judgment on a vote from a couple of sentences in the newspaper, but I didn't, even from a couple of the commissioners you expect to be the most critical. They didn't seem all that critical of it until the whole idea that the Planning Commission had gotten it wrong basically bailed them out of having to take a vote.
Yeah. Look, we're in an era now where the County Commission really doesn't have a whole lot to say about things. These protest votes, that like the two people who voted against Mosaic, those are protest votes, but they are basically in defiance of something I call the tyranny of code compliance. We're no longer in an era where planners and represent, are honest brokers representing the public interest. In the Florida Constitution, elected officials serve at the public's benefit, for the public's benefit, in the public interest. That gets forgotten when they become the creatures of the developers and the people who write the campaign checks. And so, what we have now is a situation where the planners are rubber stamping things, the staff are rubber stamping things. This fellow Joel Christian, who's the sort of the so-called scientist and environmental guy, was overheard saying, "Well, I thought that's what the commission wanted," to explain his recommendation to approve, which was a travesty. I mean, I don't know how these people sleep at night anymore. The woman who got up and said, "Well, tall buildings like that are common where I come from in the Bahamas. They're fine. People don't mind it." And that was her rationale. I mean, what are they? It's like a comedy of errors, a ship of fools there. And so, so what happens when an applicant comes in is all they have to do ultimately is work out the kinks. Yeah, the staff negotiates. They do negotiate in areas that are flagrantly in violation of the comp plan or the land development code. They negotiate a better solution, and they sort of slowly work their way in, and the developer goes along with it up to the point where the staff then says, "Okay, I'm going to be able to vote to recommend to approve on this now," and it goes before the county commission. If the county commission does not find an actual substantial fault, as they did that Thursday after we first spoke, that was enough to warrant at least kicking it back to the planning commission. If they don't find something like that, they literally have to approve. They have to. Otherwise, they're going to be inviting the developer. They're going to be inviting a big, fat lawsuit. "Hey, I was in compliance. I was totally in compliance. And yet they arbitrarily and capriciously denied my permit. I'm going to sue the commission for the exact value plus interest of everything I was going to make off this project."
We've been speaking.
And that's how land use decisions get made now.
We've been speaking with Andy Mele, Suncoast Waterkeeper. Andy, in our final moments here, tell us what you'd like our audience to do, whether to get involved or to get more information.
You know, we have to do a better job of putting people in county commissions. All the bad decisions that we've wind up having to live with, all the traffic, all the disappearance of habitat, the disappearance of agricultural land and jobs, they all come from the county level. We need to pay a lot more attention to county politics. Get out there, learn who is standing for the environment, learn who believes in the public interest, and vote for them. Don't just vote your party line.
Well, Andy, I'm going to tell you the single-member district thing, which is being floated again in Sarasota County, which is all at-large voting. That's where the culprit is, at-large voting.
That's a good thing. That's a good thing.
And but it needs to happen in Manatee as well.
Well, it's a hybrid here. It's five single members and two at-large.
I know that. And they need to get rid of the two at-large, is my opinion.
Right. Andy,
campaign in the whole county.
Any website that people can go to or a Facebook page that you want them to check out where they can keep up with developments?
Oh, God, I knew you were going to ask that. You know, we're such Luddites. You know, we're embroiled in fighting the good fight. We're up to our necks in reading comprehensive plans and everything like that and haven't really caught up with a decent website. I'm really sorry.
Okay.
But try the Fish website, Sierra Club.
We'll just have to keep tuning in to the Heavy Rain Show here on Saturdays. And we'll keep them updated until you can direct us somewhere else.
And we'll get caught up on the internet. Sorry.
All right, Andy, thank you so much, and I'm sure we'll be talking again.
I hope so. Have a good one.
Bye.
Bye.
Ah, great spokesperson for the issue.
And Andy Maley.
Yeah.
No, he is sure, and he says it pretty succinctly. But Andy understands. I'm glad I brought up the Foxfire thing. I knew he. If he knew anything, he should know about that. But the extent that Baruff have power and Benderson and Sarasota have power into both counties, the cohabitation of these people, this marriage of developers and wiping out of the environment at the behest of our governor, because the governor is supportive of all this stuff. It's a tragedy.
I want to thank Augie for joining in today, and look forward to the next time that you have a moment to come talk with us. Anything you want to leave the audience with before we have to wrap up?
Well, brotherhood is around the corner, but motherhood is on Sunday, so that's the day after today. So happy Mother's Day to those mothers that are happy, and the ones that aren't, find a reason.
Yes. And there's always 1-800-FLOWERS. That's not a sponsorship. We'll be back next Saturday at 12:05 with another Henry Raines show.
They see paradise and put up a parking lot with a pink hotel, a boutique, and a swinging hot spot. Don't it always seem to go? Got till it's gone. It'd be paradise. Put up a fucking line.